Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Dalet, and we will begin on Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Dalet Amar Aleph on the top line, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. We had learned in our previous shiur that there was a machlokes how many dayanim are required for a bezdin for dini mamnas. A machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that we need to have 5 dayanim. Rabbanan's opinion was that 3 dayanim. And the Gemara explained the basis of this machlokes by saying that the Torah says the word Yashion. The Pasuk says, Adalehim, Yavad Vashneim, Asher Yashion Alehim, Yishalim Shnaim Lerehu. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the word Yashion is pronounced in the plural. So the Pasuk, at the end of the Pasuk, has the word Yashion Elohim. Given that it's in the plural, it means 2 Dayanim. And then we compare the word Elohim mentioned at the beginning of the Pasuk to the word Elohim mentioned at the end of the Pasuk. So again, we have 2 plus 2. We have a rule, Ein Bezdin Shokel. We don't have an even number Bezdin. And because we don't have an even number Bezdin, the halacha is that we have to have 5 dayan. So what we've learned from Rabbi Yehuda is that we follow the pronunciation of the word. And we begin now the sugya, which is known as Yesh Eim Lemikra or Yesh Eim Lemesiris, which means that we find many psukim in the Torah that there's pronunciation in one way, Yesh Eim Lemikra, and there is the spelling, the ksiv, different, Yesh Eim Lemesiris. And the question is, which is the primary way of understanding the pasuk? According to the Mikra, according to the way it's read, according to the Mesiris, according to the way it's pronounced. Certainly, as the Rishonim point out, the Miri makes this very important point. It's only a question where the Kri and the Ksiv contradict each other. And now we need to decide which should we follow, the Kri or the Ksiv. In situations where they don't contradict each other, certainly we should learn the Kri and the Ksiv. Furthermore, as the Reim asks, why, whether we hold Yesh Eim LeMikra or whether we hold Yesh Eim LeMesiris, does the Torah set itself up in a way that we should have this conflict? Says the Yireim, because the Torah wants to teach us, according to the Man D'Amar that holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, that the Mikra is more important. The Torah wants to teach us, according to the Man D'Amar that holds Yesh Eim LeMesiris, that the Mesiris is more important. And this lesson can only be learned if we have a situation of conflict, and now we decide either Mikra or Mesiris. Otherwise, we can never appreciate the value of Mikra or Mesiris. Furthermore, the Tshuvas HaRashba says, now we could understand why it's prohibited to have in a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh, to have the vowels in the Sefer Torah. Because these Nekudas, if the Torah had Nekudas in it, then clearly it would be proof that we should follow the pronunciation. And in our Gemara, we're actually learning that this is not so obvious. We're having a question. Should we follow the Mikra or the Mesira? And because of that, writing Nekudas in the Torah disqualifies the Sefer Torah. Along the same lines, says the Noda Behuda, then not only may we not have Nekudas in the Torah, but we may not have Tamim, the different ways that we know how to read the Sefer Torah, may also not be included in the Sefer Torah, because the Tamim are help us understand how to read and understand the Pesukim, and that, if we had that in the Torah, then there would be no question and no reason to darshan the Pesukim of the Torah. Therefore, says the Nabi Yehuda, just like the Rashba says, we're not allowed to have the Nekudas in the Sefer Torah, so too may we not have the Tamim in the Sefer Torah. So now that we've identified, in the previous year, as I said, Yashion, that we follow according to Rebbe's opinion at least, the pronunciation, the mikra. So our Gemara begins discussing this subject. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz, Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, Kula Sfirlu, all are of the opinion that Yesh Eim LeMikra. We follow the pronunciation, it supersedes the spelling. And as we've mentioned previously, there's a rule throughout Shas, whenever the Gemara has this type of a situation where the Gemara lists a series of Tanoim or a series of Amaroim who are all of the same opinion, that is not the halacha. And in fact, most Rishonim say, we don't say Yesh Eim LeMikra, rather we say Yesh Eim LeMesoiris. Why? Because what the Gemara actually is doing is saying specifically these Tanoim have this opinion. Everyone else holds differently, and therefore we should paskin Yesh Eim LeMesoiris. So now the Gemara will identify each of these opinions. Rebbe Hadamar, as I said at the beginning of this year, Rebbe says we follow the word Yashir, we follow the reading of the word Yashir and the pronunciation, which is in the plural, and that's how Rebbe comes to his psak that we need to have five dayonim. Rebbe Yehuda ben Royitz, where do we see that Rebbe Yehuda ben Royitz follows the mikra? The Tanya, a word of introduction. And whenever we say this word of introduction, we also say that this is the halacha midaraisa, but we need to emphasize that we should not follow this approach, we should not follow this approach in our halacha lemaisa. The Torah says that if a woman has a girl, a woman has a boy, then she is tamei for 7 days. No matter if she sees dam or she doesn't see dam, she's tamei for 7 days, and then she's tahor for the next 33 days. And again, she's tahor for the next 33 days, even if she sees dam. That is the halacha when a boy is born. When a girl is born, everything, as we're going to learn, doubles. She's tahor. She's tamei for 14 days, and she's tamei for 14 days again, no matter what. Even if she doesn't see dam, she's tamei for the first 14 days, and then afterwards, she's tahor for the next 66 days. Again, even if she sees dam, she's tahor for the next 66 days. And as I said, and I have to emphasize, these halachas are halachas midaraisa, not halachas that are to be followed nowadays. Now says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz Talmidim asked them the following question. When the Pasuk says that the woman is tar, so we read the words of the Pasuk, Shvuayim, that she's tamei for 2 weeks. Ekrani, perhaps, why do I say, ask the Talmidim, that she's tamei for 2 weeks? Ekrani Shivim. Maybe it should be read that she's tamei for 70 days. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara's question. There are some Mefarshim that say that there is no question that it should mean 70 days. Because we can't consider that she should be tamei for 70 days, because then it's difficult to understand the consistency in the psukim between a boy and a girl. By a boy, the Torah speaks in terms of weeks, that he's tamei for a week. And by a girl, the Torah speaks in terms of days, of 70 days, which would be inconsistency. And therefore, the Malbim says what the Gemara means was, that the Gemara's question was, that not that she should be tamei for 70 days, but she should be tamei for 7 weeks. But again, we will learn pshat, that they asked, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is that she's tamei for 70 days. And therefore, they asked, that a woman who has a baby girl should be tamei for 70 days. Amalahem. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz responded, the Torah said that when a woman has a male child, she's tamei and then she's tahar. The Torah says when she has a girl, she's tamei and then she's tahar. Mak shteh bezachar. Clearly, as far as the Yemei Tahara, the days of Tahara concerned, the ratio is a double ratio, as I said earlier. There's a Tumah for 60, there's a Tahara of 33 days by a boy, and you made Tahara of 66 days by a girl. So too, the ratio of the Yimei Tumah should be a 2-to-1 ratio. So therefore, if the Torah says that she's Tameh for a week by a boy, the ratio is a 2-to-1 ratio, and she's Tameh and she's Tar and she's Tameh for 2 weeks by a girl. And that's how I know to understand it to mean Shvuayim, not Shivim. Actually, Tosfos says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz could have given different Tirutzim. One Tirutz is that the Torah says that a woman, when she has a girl, is Tameh Kinnidasa. So the Torah using the word Kinnidasa, and we know that the Yemei Nida 7 days, so obviously the Torah adding 7 days, not more, to the Yemei Tumah of a woman who had a girl, versus not more than just another 7 days. Another Tirutz Tosfos would suggest the Gemara could have said is that if what we mean here is 70 days, it would turn out that the Yemei Tumah are longer than the Yemei Tahara. But just like we see when she had a boy, that the Yemei Tumah are much less than the Yemei Tahara. The Yemei Tumah are a week. The Yemei Tahara are 33 days. So too could have Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, says Tosfos, answered that it's inconceivable to say that the Yemei Tumah by the birth of a girl should be 70 days and the Yemei Tahara should be only 66 days. And therefore, Tosfos says that therefore Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz had a number of answers. Why? Certainly it means Shvuayim, not Shivim. However, says the Gemara L'Achshi Yotzu, after the Tamidim left Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, Yotzu Machzagrayim, he ran after them, and Amalam, and he said to them, Iyatam Zekukum Akach, the teretz that I gave earlier wasn't necessary. Shvuayim Karina, we follow the Yeshayim Mikra, we follow the pronunciation, and the pronunciation is Shvuayim, and we don't follow the Ksiv of Shivim. The Mefarshim obviously asked, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz give this teretz immediately? So they answer that Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz assumed that they felt that the halacha is yesh aim lemesiris, and since he thought that their opinion was yesh aim lemesiris, he first wanted to give them a teretz that would follow their opinion. However, afterwards he ran after them and said, "Don't make a mistake. Even though maybe you hold yesh aim lemesiris, and according to your, I've still been able to successfully explain this din that a woman is only tameh for 2 weeks, even according to your opinion, I want you to know that I don't need to say that teretz, for I hold halach is yesh aim lemikra." Beis Shammai, where do we see that Beis Shammai holds yesh aim lemikra? The Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Again, a word of introduction. The halach is that when somebody brings a carbon, at this point we're speaking about carbonos that are brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the halach is that the Zrikas Hadam is required. But there are very different dinim by the Zrikas Hadam of a carbon chatos versus the Zrikas Hadam of all other carbonos. Two primary differences. The Zrikas Hadam of a carbon chatos is done towards the top of the Mizbeach, on the corners, whereas the other kabbonis, as we will learn, are done, the zrika is done lamata michuta sikra. There was a red line that sort of divided the top and the bottom of the mizbeach. It was done on the bottom part of the mizbeach. And the difference is that by karmel chatas, 4 zrikas, 4 sprinklings are required on the 4 corners of the mizbeach, whereas by carbon or the other kabbonis, shtayim shen arba, 2 that are 4, they're done at the corner that should spread to the 2 corners. That's the form of Zrika. So the Tanan, Beis Shammai, I'm recalling it in the Mizbeach HaChitzon, all kabbonis that were put, all sprinkling, where we only did Shnitma Matana Achas, if the kohen only did 1 Zrika, the halach is Kiper. It will be a valid Zrika. Shnema, that's in all other kabbonis. V'chatos, by Karbachatas, according to Beis Shammai, 2 matanas are required. Ubaisilil disagree Veshamai, Vesilim Apachatish Nasum Matana Achas, even a Kamachatis one sprinkling, one Natana keeper will affect a kapara. Vamar Funa, my Tamad Beshamai, what is the reasoning of Beshamai? Again, the Torah uses the words karnois, and the Torah uses the words karnois three times. Karnois, karnois, karnois. Again, we follow according to Beis Shammai the pronunciation, and they're always pronounced with a Lashon Rabbim. So Harei Kan Sheish. This represents six spreaking. How do we understand the pasuk according to Beis Shammai? Therefore, Abba, the first four times the Torah speaks about Zrik Sadam ala mitzvah to tell us the lechatchila Zrik Sadam should take place, Ushtayim, and the last two times al akif to tell us that those are absolutely essential, and then if they're not done, we will not have kapara. Beis Hillel disagree. They follow the way the Torah spells the word karnois, karnois, karnois. One time indeed, the first time the Torah spells the word plural, so that represents two sprinklings, but the other two times the Torah spells it chaser, not with the vav, so they only represent one sprinkling. So we have 2 + 1 + 1 harei kan arbi equal 4. Gimel mitzvah, so it explains by itself, 3 are to be taught that it's a mitzvah to do the sprinkling, but it's not essential. However, v'achas l'akif. Ask the Gemara, why do we understand Beis Hillel? Why does Beis Hillel understand the pasuk that way? Maybe the way Beis Hillel should understand the pasuk is the aim of kula mitzvah. The Torah speaks about four sprinklings, and the Torah is teaching us that all four are only the la mitzvah. But if you don't do the sprinkling, perhaps Beis Hillel will agree that you still have kapara. Answer the Gemara, that's an untenable position, because Beis Hillel holds kapara b'chdi lo yashkan. It's impossible to have a situation with no sprinkling and affect the kapara. So in other words, the way the Mefarshim understand the Gemara's Teretz, it could well be that according to Beis Hillel, all four times the Torah speaks about sprinkling, they're only there, they're all a mitzvah. How do I know that? You have to have at least one, and without that you don't have a kapara? Because kapara b'chtilai ashkan, there always has to be one. So ask the Rishonim, Taisus asked the obvious question. If we're going to follow this line of reasoning, then according to Beis Shammai, we should have to have three zrikas to have a kapara. One because of the svara of kapara b'chdi lo yashkechon, and two more because of the extra psukim. Yet Beis Shammai says that only two are essential. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is a simple teretz Taisus gives. The Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to the svara of kapara b'chdi lo yashkechon. Another teretz that I saw is that Beis Shammai says to affect the kapara b'chdi, to affect the basic requirement of kapara, that we could accomplish, says Beis Shammai, with the zrika, the spilling of the blood on the base of the mizbeach. And with that, we could fulfill the basic requirement of kapara b'chdi. And therefore, he only has the two psukim to teach us, the two extra karnis, to teach us the two actual sprinklings on the mizbeach itself. Another text that I saw from the Chiddush Ran, as the Sfas Emes explains it, that once Beis Hillel has to rely on the svara of kapara b'chdi, he doesn't have a pasuk to speak about how many zrikas are required, but he certainly subscribes to the svara of kapara b'chdi lo yashkechon, and that's how he knows that one zrika is required. Beis Shammai doesn't have to rely on that svara. Once he has psukim, so the svara has no place in the shakla v'tari of the Gemara, and that's why two zrikas according to Beis Shammai will be enough. Rav Shimon, where do we see the Rav Shimon holds yesh aim lemikra, do we follow the pronunciation? The Tanya, machlokes masech the sukkah, what is the minimal dimensions of a sukkah? Shtayim kachasa v'shlish tefil tefach. The Tanakhama's opinion is that the minimal size of a sukkah is two full walls. As the Gemara masech the sukkah says, that means two walls, seven tefachim long, at least seven tefachim long, and the third wall to be just a tefach. That is the minimal size of a sukkah. Rav Shimon Omer, Sholosh Kol Chosun, Revius of Hilat Tefach. Rav Shimon's opinion, however, is that you have to have three walls that are three full walls, and the fourth wall could be a Tefach. And explains the Gemara Maikamavsky. What is the machloket between Rabbanan and Rav Shimon? Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Eimon Osiris, we follow the written way. Rav Shimon Savri, Yesh Eimon Mikra, we follow the way the words are pronounced. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Eimon Osiris, Pesukus, Pesukus, Pesukus. The Torah says the word Pesukus twice, Chaser, and once Mole. Harei Kanarba, 1 plus 1 plus 2. Is 4. Dal chad kro, but we have to eliminate one pasuk lugufe to teach us the basic din of sukkah. So now, before we go further, there's an obvious question. If now the Gemara is teaching us that there's a concept of dal chad kro lugufe, that the first time the Torah mentions the pasuk, we needed to teach us the basic halacha, so why don't we say the same thing in the previous piece of Gemara when we spoke about Zrikas Adam and say Dal Chad Kro, that the first time the pasuk is mentioned is Legufe, is to teach us the basic halacha that you have to do Zrikas Adam. So I saw a number of turuts into this question. The Tosfos Rosh answers that since in the and before we go further, and this question is stronger based on the svara that we discussed in our previous year that spoke about Ein Darshan Tchilas, that we can never darshan the first time the Torah mentions a halacha. So how in the previous Gemara weren't we concerned, and why didn't we say that the first time the Torah uses the words karnois, it's just to teach us the basic din of Zrikas Adam, and it cannot be used to teach us how many Zrikas are required? So again, as I said, there are a number of turutzim. One teretz is that this concept of Ein Darshan Tchilos, or we need Chad Etzrich Legufe, is only when they're all the psukim are in one parasha, which is the case by Sukkah. However, in the case of Karnos, all of those times that the Torah mentions Karnos are not all mentioned in one parasha. They're mentioned in different parashias of the Torah about different kabbonis, so there we don't have this concept of chad kra legufe of ein darshan tchilas. The Yad Rama says a different teretz, because here, if I would say that the pasuk is just coming to teach us the basic halacha that one has to sit in the sukkah during sukkahs, but not to teach us how the sukkah should look. That's why we need to say the first pasukas is coming to teach us not only the halacha that you have to sit in the sukkah during Yom Tov, but how that sukkah is supposed to look. By Zrikas Adam, it's obvious that the Torah is only coming to teach us the word, the din of Zrikas Adam. The Sefer Torah Chaim gives a different teretz. He says that the reason that we can use even the first mention of the word karnois by Zrikas Adam for drasha is because the word karnois is actually an unnecessary word. The Torah should have used the word saviv. You should spritz around the mizbeach. Why did the Torah use the word karnois? It must be to teach us a limud, not just the basic din of Zrikas Adam. So again, according to Rabbanan, the Torah, we follow the spelling. We have two chaser sukkahs, one mole equal 4. The first sukkah is just to teach us the basic halach of sukkah, pashlu tlas. So we're left with three mentions, and then asay hilchas agar to lishlishis v'kupta tefach. There's a special halach l'mesh mesina that teaches us that the last wall of a sukkah is enough that it should be a tefach big. So the last wall, the third wall, is only needs to be a tefach, and that's how we know, according to the opinion of Tatana Kama, that a sukkah has to, that a minimal size of the sukkah is two full walls plus a tefach. However, Rav Shimon besukkus, besukkus, besukkus. Rav Shimon follows the pronunciation. All three times that the Torah says the word besukkus, it's pronounced moli, harei kan sheish. However, dal chad kro legufe, we deduct the first mention of the word sukkus to teach us the basic din of sukkah, pashlu arba. So we're left with four walls. And again, Asa Hilchasa, Garatul Revius, who come to Tefach, he still subscribes to that Allah Lamash Mesin. It says the fourth wall, the last wall of the Sukkah, could only be a Tefach. And that's how we know that the Sukkah, according to Shimon, has to be three full walls plus a Tefach. But what do we see here? That according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, a Sukkah, he's following the Mikra, the pronunciation, whereas the Tanakhama is following the Messiah, the spelling. Reb Akiva, the next Tana we identified that follows Ayesh Eim Mikra is Reb Akiva. The Tanya, Reb Akiva Omer, Menayin Leviyas Dam Shiyotz Mishnei Mesin Shmetam Ba'oil. We know that a Leviyas Dam that comes out of a mace is Metama. How do we know if we have a mace that we have two mesim, and combined with, if we combine the dam that came out of the two mesim, we have a revius. That's matama ba'oil. Shnema akol nafshois meis lo yavo. We follow the decree. The decree is nafshois loshin rabim. Shtei nefashis. If the dam comes out of two bodies with shir echod, it's matama. Rabbanon nafshois ksiv. We follow the decree, which is a loshin yachid. It's interesting to note that the Tosefta has different versions and variations how to understand the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. One version is that the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan is referring to a situation that we started with two revius, each mace, Rahman al Tzlon, expelled a revius Adam, and then from that revius we took. From those two revius, we took a little off one revius and we took off a little from another revius. Where there, Rabbi Kiva will hold that it's Tamei, and Rabbanan will hold it's Tahar. However, if we never had in the first place a revius Dam, there, Rabbi Kiva, from each mace, Rabbi Kiva will agree that it's Tahar. Because since we never started with a revius Dam in the first place, therefore, it's not Tomei, even according to Rabbi Kiva. There is a different version that says just the opposite. That in the case that I just described, even the Rabbanan would hold that it's Tomei. It's only in a situation where we didn't start off with a revius dam from each mace do we have a machloikis where Rabbi Kiva will say it's Tomei and Rabbanan will hold it's Tahar. Maskula Rav Acha by Yaakov, ask Rav Acha by Yaakov, Mi Ika de Les Layesh Eim LaMikra, is there a possibility that there isn't, that there is a Tana that doesn't follow the opinion of Yesh Eim LaMikra for Tanya? We know the Torah says the Pasuk, actually the Torah says the Pasuk three times, Lo Yisvash Gadi B'Chalev Imoi, which we know, we pronounce the word B'Chalev, meaning Cholov, to teach us the Isser of Bosa B'Cholov, B'Chalev Imoi, Yochel, we would perhaps think that it means chalev. And maybe what the Torah is teaching us is not that you're not allowed to cook meat in milk, but perhaps what the Torah is teaching us is that you're not allowed to cook meat in chalev, in fat. Amrit, that's what we say, yesh eim lemikra. We follow the pronunciation, and the pronunciation is chalev imay, which means milk, not fat. Ask the Mefarshim. We know that the Torah says, as I said a moment ago, the pasuk of Lois Vashi Gadi B'Chalev Imoi three times in the Torah. And the reason the Gemara Masech Techulin says, the Torah says it three times, is Echad Lesa Achila, Echad Lesa Hano, Ve'Echad Lesa Bishul. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. So if the Torah is speaking about Chalev Imoi, the milk, so that's what we need the pasuk to say three times, to teach us these three halachas. But if we're going to suggest that the Torah means chalev, ask the Mefarshim, chalev is osa ba'achila anyway. The person not allowed to eat chalev, the fats of an animal. So why would we need three mentioning, the Torah to mention this thing three times? This or achila is there anyway. So I saw many answers to this question. One answer is that indeed what the Torah means is that for isra achila of chalev, when you cook it with meat, there's a double isser. There's an isser because of the chalev, and there's also an isser of eating it together with the basar. One teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the reason the Torah has to give us an the Torah would tell us an isra achil of chaylev, even though we already know chaylev is osur, is because what would be the halacha if I only had a half a kazayis of chaylev? With the rice, it's not osur. But if I combine, at least not osur to the degree that one should get an oynish, a punishment for it. But let's say I would combine a half a kazayis of chaylev plus a half a kazayis of basur. So the chaylev in itself is not osur. But now if I combine a half a kazayis of chaylev plus a half a kazayis of basur, that's what the pasuk has to tell me is osur. A third teretz is that absolutely, that as far as the isur achila is concerned, loy svash gadib b'chalev imay means the milk, not the fat. The fat is already osur b'achila. What the Gemara is asking is that the other two times that the Torah mentions loy svash gadib b'chalev imay, that those other two times, I should say, the Torah is teaching us that it means chalev, not chalev. But as far as the one mention of this rachila, I would mean taka chalev, because chalev is already osur b'achila anyway. It's also interesting to note that I saw a shaila. Here we just said that basur b'chalev is osur b'hano. So I saw, what would be the halacha if one is going to cooking school? And some of the classes, the teachers, the instructors, cook dishes that have basur b'chalev. So certainly, a Jewish student is not allowed to cook even cook basur b'chalev, certainly not eat basur b'chalev, but not even allowed to cook basur b'chalev. As I just said, there's an isser achila, there's an isser bishul, there's isser hano. But the question is, may a Jewish student watch the teacher, the instructor, or other students in the class cook dishes that have in them basur b'chalev? So I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses this question, and he says this is clearly under the category of Issa Hanor. And he explains as follows. Even if we'll suggest that just watching something is not considered typically under the category of an Issa Hanor, he says here, it's not just watching. You pay tuition to go to school. So obviously it has a monetary value, and therefore it's certainly considered an Issa Hanor. So here we see that clearly we follow the pronunciation. And therefore says the Gemara, L'dekula alma yesh eim l'mikra. We certainly have to say yesh eim l'mikra. However, Rebbe Rabban B'ha Kamilfki. So now we go back to our original machloikas. Rebbe said that you have to have 5 dayanim for monetary case. The Rabbanim said you have to have 3 dayanim. What is the machloikas about? Rebbe Sava Yeshin al Himachrini. Again, to read the pasuk that we said at the beginning of our shiur, the pasuk says, "Ara lehim yovid vashneim, asher shina lehim yishalom shneim lerehu." So Rebbe understands the pasuk that mentions Elohim twice to teach us that these are two different dayonim. The lehim mentioned yashina lehim, which is mentioned at the end of the pasuk, is not the same lehim as at the beginning of the pasuk. And since Yashin, we follow the pronunciation, refers to two dayanim, so Yashin Elohim is 2, and we compare Elohim at the beginning of the pasuk to Elohim at the end of the pasuk, so we have another 2, equaling 4, ein bezdin shakol, so we have 5. Rabbanan, however, savri, Yashin dehaich v'hai, the same Yashin, the Elohim at the beginning of the pasuk, and the Elohim at the end of the pasuk, are the same dayanim. It's the same person. So Elohim so we always have 1 plus 1, and then we only have 2 dayanim. Yashin Elohim is 2 dayanim, and the Elohim at the beginning of the pasuk are those very 2 same individuals. Ein bezdin shakol, and mesifin aleim oid echad, we have 3 dayanim. So now the Gemara has to revisit everything it discussed. If now we're saying that everybody accepts the concept of yesh ein Lemikra. So ask the Gemara, if so, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz that explained that disagreed and we don't follow the pronunciation of Shvayim. He had different Lemudim how to explain the halacha of how long a woman is Tamei. Says the Gemara, let pligi Rabbanan lay. Nobody disagrees that we follow the pronunciation of Shvayim. Everybody agrees that that's how we know that a woman, when she has a girl, is tamei for 2 weeks. Beis Hillel. Now we go back to the machlokes that we had between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. How many times, what is the minimal zrikas adam that's required? Beis Hillel said that only one zrika is absolutely essential. The Tanya, because the pasuk says, we learned in the Brisa, the keeper, the keeper, the keeper. The Torah says the word the keeper three times. Based on that, we learn that only one zrika is essential. Mavnei Adin, because we could have learned a different lumdus to say that all four are perhaps essential. Because V'loy Dinhu, we could have made the following argument. Nemedomim Lamata. The Torah speaks about dam, as I said before, that sprinkled on the lower half of the Mizbeach, below the Chitta Sukra. The Nemedam Lamala, that's by all Kabonis. And then the Torah speaks about Zrikas Adam by the Karbon Chattis, which is sprinkled on the corners, on the top of the Mizbeach. Mad Domim Hamur Lamata Shinosim Vatana Achas Keeper, says the Gemara, just like by the Kabonis, whose dam is sprinkled on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, one Zrika is essential. After Mahmur Lamala, Shnemar, Shnostam Batanachas Keeper, so too will be the din by the dam that's sprinkled on the top half by Karbachatis, only one Zrika is essential. That's one way of understanding. A Kalach Ladarach Seh. Or we can learn this way. Nem Dam Bechutz. The Torah speaks about a Karbon Chattis that's brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin, v'nemedam b'fnim. And the Torah speaks about the Karbon Chattis that's brought inside the Mizbeach, in the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Ma'adam ha'murim b'fnim. When it comes to sprinkling the dam on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the halacha is chise achas ma'atonos lo'yos v'klum. If somebody missed any zrikas adam, it's totally, it invalidates the Karbon. So too, after Mahmurim Bechutz, so too the sprinkling of the dam on the Mizbeach Achitzim by the Karbon Chattis, the halacha should be Chisa Achas Matanos Loyosu Klum, that if you miss any of the Zrikas, it invalidates the Karbon. So now the question is Nir L'midoma. So now the question is, to what is it better to compare the Karbon Chattis that's brought on the Mizbeach Achitzim? Do we say Don Chutz Mechutz? It makes more sense to compare the Karbon Chattis that's brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin to the other Kabonis that are brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin, where there we just said the halacha is that only one Zerik is essential, and not to learn a Karbon Chattis that's brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin from a Karbon Chattis that's brought on the Mizbeach Apnimi, or we can make a different argument. Don Chattis for Dalet Kronis, Mechattis for Abba Kronis. We learned the Karbon Chattis where the blood has to be sprinkled on all four corners from the same type of situation of a Karbon Chattis, where the dam has to be sprinkled on all four corners, the Karbon Chattis that are brought to Mizbeach HaPnimi, and we shouldn't learn the Karbon Chattis from other Kabonis that are, number one, aren't Chattos, and number two, the Dal Kronis, and don't require even L'chatchila sprinkling on all four corners, because by all the other kabbonis, the halacha even l'chatchila is only that shtayim shen arba, two sprinklings that go to each to the two corners are is enough. Tamalaymer. So now we don't know which how to learn a Karbon Chattis. Where does it make more sense to learn the Karbon Chattis? Do we learn it from the Chattis apnimi, and therefore all of the zrikas will be essential? Or do we learn it from the other kabbonis that are brought in the Mizbeach Achitzin, where therefore the halach will be only one zrika will be essential? So since we don't know which way to learn, says the Brisa, Tamalayim v'keeper v'keeper v'keeper, Lnei Adin. Because of this dilemma, when Torah says v'keeper v'keeper, three times. Keeper, the first keeper to teach us, Abishloi Nosan al-Shloish, that even if you only did three zrikas, the Karbon Chattis will be effective. Keeper, Abishloi Nosan al-Shtayim, you have a kapari even if you only did two. Keeper, Abishloi Nosan al-Achas, that even if you only gave, if you did only one sprinkling, it will be effective. This is how Beis Hillel learned that one zrika is essential. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, followed the opinion that we learned at the beginning of the shir of Yesh Eim LeMikra, and that's how they came to their conclusion that you have to have by Zrikas Hadam of a Kamechatos a minimum of two Zrikas. But it could well be that everybody is agreeable to Yesh Eim LeMikra. Another place that the Gemara identified on Amun Aleph that the Machloikas was Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMesiris, was the Machloikas of Rav Shimon the Rabbanon. What is the minimal size of a sukkah? Rav Shimon Rabbanon have a different Machloikas. Everybody agrees that we follow Yesh Eim LeMikra. But what is the Machloikas between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon? Rav Shimon Sava Sikha Leibay Kra. Rav Shimon holds that the actual din that a sukkah needs to be covered doesn't need a pasuk. The very definition of a sukkah, says Rav Shimon, is that it's a covered hut. Therefore, all four mentions of a sukkah can be used to teach us how many walls are needed. And therefore, since the Torah says four times besukkos, the four men teach us four walls, and the Loch L'Moshe M'Sinai takes the last wall and makes it only a tefach. However, Rabbanan of the opinion, Sikha by Kra, the very basic mention of the sukkah needs the lima that you need to have sikh. So we only have three mention of sukkah left to teach us that you have to have the three walls, and the last wall is diminished by the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that a tefach is big enough. The Machlokes of Rekiv and Rabbanon about Tumas from a Revius from Tumasim. Rekiv and Rabbanon b'ha pligi. Rekiv and Sava Nafshois. Rekiv says that the word Nafshois means Nafshis Tati Mashma, means a Revius, a blood from Tumasim. Rabbanon Savri, Rabbanon on the other hand say, even though we're following the Kree, and the Kree is Lashon Rabbim, Nefashis to Alma mean. It means Nefashis means from all the corpses of the world. The Torah uses the word Nefashis, Lashon Rabbim, as saying that the Kohen Gadol can't approach any dead corpse. But it doesn't come to teach us that the Revius came from two Mason. Ask the Gemara, Udekala Alma. Is this true that everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, that we follow the pronunciation? For Tanya, the pasuk speaks about tefillin. The pasuk says, L'taytafais, L'taytafais, L'taytafais. Twice the Torah says the word L'taytafais chaser. Once it says it mole, teaches us 1 + 1 + 2, Harei Kan Arba, that's how we know that the tefillin Shiroish have to have four compartments, Divrei Bishmol. Kiva disagrees. Hein etzaruch. He says tat ba'afriki. The word tat in Africa means two. Pas ba'afriki, and the word pas in Africa means tat in Kasri means two. Tat pas in Africa means two. 2 + 2 = 4. So obviously, Rabbi Shmuel is following the way it's written. L'tay tafos, l'tay tafos, l'tay tafos. That's why he follows the Ksiv. So how can we say that everybody follows Yesh Eim LeMikra? Before we go further, the Mefarshim obviously discuss the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that says the way we know that tefillin have to have four compartments is because we use these foreign words. And the Shla discusses, and other Mefarshim discuss, how do we use foreign words to teach us how many compartments the tefillin is supposed to have? So the Shla and other Mefarshim say that actually these words, tat and pas, were originally Hebrew words. But we all know by the Dor HaFloga, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the languages, and the people didn't understand each other's languages. And therefore, these words that were originally Lashon Kodesh words were transported to these countries. And therefore, the halacha, that's why they can be used to teach us the meaning of the word taitafis. The Kedusha Slavi, however, says that just the opposite. To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that Klal Yisrael will be in Golos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us, even in Golos, to fulfill the mitzvahs. And not only did they want us to fulfill the mitzvahs in Golos, but more than that, they wanted us to realize that the tefillin that speak about Yichud Hashem, that speak about the basic principles of our faith, we should follow them in all situations. And like the Klaus Magrebi saw, based on this pshat, says there will be a time the Torah realized that Klai Yisrael will not speak Lashon Kodesh. They'll be far from Lashon Kodesh, but tefillin they have to wear. So here we clearly see that the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that we follow the Messiah. So Gemara goes back and says, "La'olam pligi, v'hani milikim pligi. Where is there a machlokes of yesh aim la mikro yesh aim la mesiris? Hecha d'shanik krav mesiris, where the pronunciation and the written form are different. Avol hai chaylev v'chaylev d'chadadi nenu. In a situation where milk and fat, which are identical, they're both spelled ches lamed vayis, there the halacha is yesh aim la mikro." Ask the Gemara, is that true? Very yira yira. The Torah speaks about the chiyuv of being oil l'regel. And the word yira and yira, the chadodinenu, the spelling and the pronunciation is the same. And yet there's machlokes. The Tanya, Yochanan ben Dehavi, Oim Meshim, Yehuda ben Tema, Hasuma be'echs be'enof, if somebody's blind in one eye, potem in a roya. Shnami yira, the Torah says the word yira, But the pronunciation is Yirah. To teach us, Kederach Shabal Lirois, Kach Bal Lirois. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see us, that's the way that we see Him. Ma Lirois, Kav Yochel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision is complete. Ma Lirois, He sees us complete. B'shtei Einof. Af Lirois, so too, when we come to see Him, the only person that has to come be Oil Regal is somebody who has shtei einov, both eyes. So we see that we follow the Tana is teaching us a halacha from the written form versus the spelled, the pronounced form. This isn't this a stira to what we learned before, that when we have no stira, that when the kri and the ksiv can coexist, everybody says we follow the kri, we follow the pronounced form. Ella Amar of Acha Rei Dravika, Amar Kroy Lo Savashal Gadi. The Torah uses the words Lo Savashal Gadi. Since the Torah uses the words cooking, Derech Bishlos Taira, and in fat it's not cooked, in fat it's fried. Therefore, that's how we know that the Isser of Loisavashi Gadi B'chalevi Moi refers to milk and not to fat, because if the Torah was speaking about fat, it would say the Loshin of Tigun, not the Loshin of Bishal. In fact, from here we see that the Isser, according to the Prima Godim, the Isser of Bas B'chalev Midarais is only by Bishal and not by Tigun, not by frying. And in fact, based on this, the Paiskim say that since the halacha is that basar oif, chicken, bird meat with chalav is only issur derabbanan, and now we're saying that the issur tigun, frying, is also derabbanan, so frying chicken in butter is a situation of trei derabbanan, of two derabbanans, which the halacha takes into consideration for different areas of question. The Gemara also said, "Kederach shebar lirois kach bar lirois." That only a person who Baruch Hashem can see on both eyes has a chiv alil regel. Somebody who only could see with one eye is potter. Why? So the Mefarshim explain it al pidrush. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us two eyes. One eye is to see Godless Hashem, to see Godless Habayah, how great a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. And one eye is to see Shiflas Atzmai, how low we are. But if a person doesn't have that ability, he only has the ability to see Suma Bachs Me'enov, he only has the ability to see the greatness of Hashem, but he doesn't have the ability to see Shiflas Atzmai, that he doesn't have the ability to be modest, Patman Ariya, that's not the person that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to see in the base of Migdash being Oilu L'Regal.